listener production.
Have you ever gone on a diet before? How did it go? Did it make you feel motivated? Or did it make you feel drained and unhappy? By the age of 11, half of Aussie girls have been on a diet, and that only increases with age. And here's the thing, over 95% of people who lose weight on a diet plan gain it back after a year. I think being healthy, it has a lot more to do with just your weight. I'm chatting with Lindy Cohen today, aka the Nude Nutritionist. She's been on the podcast before. We've brought her back because she's amazing. What she talks about, how she talks about it, is really insightful. She says you don't get healthy, you build health. And she's written a whole book on it. It's called Your Weight Is Not the Problem. She's a certified, qualified nutritionist and dietitian. And so today I'm talking to Lindy about her own personal health journey and I guess the inspo behind the book.
I first realized that I was bigger than the other girls while I was in ballet class in my pink leotard at 5, staring in the mirror, and I could see the other girls' bodies and I could just tell my body was bigger. Already at that point, I think I had an idea that thinner was the ideal, and that's what I should subscribe to. And research backs this up. They say by 4, girls are aware of this. By 6, they're absolutely aware that thin is the ideal. But I didn't start dieting until I was about 10 years old. My parents wanted to help me. They thought they were doing the best thing for me, and so they took me to see a nutritionist, and I got given a diet. And the nutritionist promised this wasn't a diet. She said this is a healthy eating plan, this is about balance, and yet I was told to count calories. I was weighed weekly and told to record everything I eat in a food diary. So a lot of this happens. We're told that this is pinky promise, not a diet. And yet it's absolutely a whole bunch of food rules that control our brain. And that's what it did for me. From the age of 10 to 11 until 21, I was controlled by food, what I was allowed to eat, what I wasn't allowed to eat, exercising to compensate for eating more than I thought was allowed. There were good foods, bad foods, and thinking about food controlled my thoughts. It limited my potential and impacted my social plans. I would lie in bed at night as a 15-year-old girl, thinking about what I'd eat in that day, planning what I'd eat the next day, and obsessively weighing myself. At one point, I actually cut my hair into a bob, a very lopsided bob, in an attempt to weigh less for one of those weigh-ins. By around this age, about 15, 16, I was willing to starve myself, but my body was not willing to let me do that. And so as an ultimatum, what ended up happening is I ended up binge eating. There's this expression that I love is you gasp for air when you've been holding your breath and you binge on food when you've been denied. And that's exactly what happened for me. And so here I was hiding in the pantry, rummaging for anything I could, like a wild possum caught in the night. I would binge on anything from chocolate and ice cream to chips, and I'd equally binge on things like carrots and yogurt. It didn't matter. My body just needed energy, and I would binge on all foods. It was secretive. I was deeply ashamed of it, and I thought I was the only one who did this. At 21 years old, here I was, originally starting well within the healthy weight range for the BMI. The BMI is bullshit, but that's a whole different conversation we can have. And at 21, I was now categorically obese. I was obsessed with food. I was a chronic dieter. And I thought to myself, I just can't keep doing this. This has led me in the complete wrong direction. And so at 21, I quit dieting. It was a very difficult process to slowly unpick all these diet rules that were controlling my brain, to learn to go from hating my body and loathing myself to get to the point where I am now, where I eat when I'm hungry, I stop when I feel full, I don't crouch in the pantry anymore, scurrying away, getting as much food as I possibly can. And the thing that wakes me up every day is the fact that this story is so familiar to so many women out there, and I want it to end. And so that's why I wrote this book, Your Weight Is Not the Problem, because it's not.
I guess I want to know, like, what are some of the hardest things that you had to unlearn, like the habits you had to break to have a better relationship with eating?
So I thought that these diet rules like you can only have this number of carbs, or you have to have this number, this portion size, or sugar is bad, or coffee is good, or all these food rules were helping me maintain my weight and lose weight, and that these are the things I needed to subscribe to look how I thought I needed to look. What I ended up realizing that these very food rules were controlling me. And so the hardest thing was to realize that I didn't need these diet rules to help me eat healthily. We fundamentally have forgotten that our body knows how much food it needs to eat. We have this beautiful internal system called our appetite, and the sole purpose of appetite is to help us eat the right amount of energy for our body. And so we will feel hungry, and that's our body's way of saying, hey, I'd like a bit of a top up. But all these diet rules mean we never tune into our hunger. We never even wait to feel hungry because the meal plan says this is the time to eat, or we feel like we don't have enough food. So as soon as we get access to food, we eat as much as we can. If we actually just get rid of these diet rules, you won't just eat chocolate all the time. You won't just face plant into pizza and never come out. You will have a satiation point. And so I had someone, a client, reach out to me yesterday who said the most amazing thing happened. I bought biscuits for the office and I put them in the jar, and then I sat down and I had some biscuits. And after three biscuits, I realized I didn't feel like any more biscuits. Previous me would have eaten the entire packet, but I knew I could have as many biscuits as I wanted. And I was listening to my body, and my body said, we're good for now. And it comes from that belief system. Anytime I want more food, I can have more food. So if you grew up dieting, or if you grew up in maybe a household where you didn't have much food, it can create a feeling of food is insecure. There's not enough to go around. So as soon as you get it, you eat as much as you possibly can. Tuning out of these diet rules is a very important thing to do.
I really love everything you just said then, especially the thing about the biscuits, because like 17-year-old Terea would have bought a packet of Tim Tams and then finished them before she got back to the car. It's like you're not even thinking, right? You're just putting the food into your mouth as fast as you can. You finish the packet and you feel sick and you feel guilty. When you flip your mindset and when you tell yourself you're allowed to eat whatever you want, that's really a revelation for a lot of people. Do people have different set points of weights? Because I've also read that before.
Definitely. And if you've ever gained or lost weight, you might notice that there's kind of a few weights that your body just keeps coming back to. And even if you do go on holiday and you eat way more than you planned, your body tends to try and keep you there. And it's a protective mechanism. It's a good thing to have these set point weights because the body likes predictability. It likes reliability. So we don't want to be fluctuating all the time. And so set point weight is this kind of idea that your body has a whole bunch of metabolic things that it can change hormones. It could change how much energy you expend, your energy levels, and it can help to regulate and keep your weight at this level. Now, you have multiple set points, okay? So people kind of fear, they say, well, have I raised my set point to the point that I am now feel so much like I've got way too much weight? And is this just where I am right now? And it might be where you are for a temporary amount of time. But as we're kind of changing, adding in different habits, we're turning off our body's fear that it isn't allowed food. Once we give our body trust that there is a food, is reliable, it is safe, it is there, our body doesn't have to feel like it has to cling onto all its fat reserves, which is our energy stores, because it trusts that the environment is safe, right? Our body is protecting us. If you think about holding onto weight, it's actually a protective mechanism. What so many people do is they go, I want to lose weight. And what they do is like severely undereat. And not only does this lead make you more likely to binge eat, ruin your relationship with food, it drastically slows your metabolism. The more often you do that, the quicker your body gets it going, we're not giving up any of this precious reserve, because you know what? Your body loves you even if you don't love it. It's got your back. And you have to stop fighting against your body, trying to undercut it, trying to starve it. Like I said, your body's too smart for that. And it will seize control. If you've ever binge eat, you'd know the feeling that it feels like you're not in control, because you're not.
Yeah.
Your body's like, it does feel- we're taking over. You're not trustworthy anymore. And so what we need to do is rebuild trust in a relationship with your food. Because just quickly thinking about a relationship with a partner or a friend, what do we need in a healthy relationship? We need trust. You need to be able to trust your partner, and your body needs to be able to trust you. That is very important.
I love that. I love what you just said, that your body loves you even if you don't love it. Yeah, that's chills. Really. Yeah, I did too. It's kind of made me a bit teary, because I think about all of the like the wasted energy and thoughts that so many women would have about food and about dieting and about exercise. And in a way, it's almost like you're just fucking with your body's natural mechanisms. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of devastating, to be honest.
It is really devastating. And my mission point is the fact that I feel like for generations we've been passing down disordered eating and this diet culture between mothers and daughters. And I don't know about you, but I know my mum taught me a lot of the diet rules that I now have because she was trying to help me, right? They were just doing their best. They know that in the world that you know, you get discriminated if you exist in a larger body. They knew that, and they were going, well, we're going to try to do the best for you. They got sent to Weight Watchers with their mothers. And I think about my mom. She got given all her diet rules from her mother, and her mother got it from her mother. And what my mission point is that it stops with us. If you're listening to this, you are the generation I want it to stop with. I don't want us to pass this down to our kids, boys or girls, or you know, any gendered kids. I want us to be able to go, we are the last generation that's going to struggle with this, because this is not some crappy heirloom I want you to keep passing down to your kids. I want you to create a healthy relationship with your body, and so your kids never have to question what their body is telling them or have all these diet rules. They can just eat when they're hungry, stop when they're feel full, and move on with their beautiful life.
It sounds so basic. It sounds so basic what you're talking about, Lindy. Basic but revelatory for so many of us who have been going through this diet culture war with our bodies things for decades. Was that part of your inspiration for your book, Your Weight Is Not the Problem?
It is so much of the inspiration behind my book. Your Weight Is Not the Problem is really just a message for all of us to realize that I was told my entire life that my weight was the problem, that the more I focus on my weight, the more I try and fix my weight, this problem of mine, I would be happier. You'd be so pretty if you lost weight, people kept telling me. You'd be so much better if you lost weight. And it is, and the more I focused on trying to lose weight, the harder it felt, the more weight I ended up gaining. And our hyperfixation on weight is actually making it so much harder for us to exist in a body that we like and that is healthy. And the ideal weight that we have is so distorted often that it's making it really hard for us to be consistent. I'm all about how do we be more consistent around movement. So what often people do is they create these weight goals. I want to lose 5 kilograms. And so they'll adopt healthy habits and sometimes unhealthy habits in order to achieve this goal. And let's say they reach the 5 kilograms or the 50 kilograms, however much you want to lose, they never keep up with those habits because it was just about losing weight. And now, if we're driven by hating our bodies and then we get to a point and we finally like our bodies, we don't keep doing all those things. And so what I'm much more interested in, how do we do healthy things because we respect our body? I don't even think we need to love our body. I think that's a really huge goal.
Well, I think loving your body, like the idea of self-love can be really demoralizing. Like if you hate your body, the idea of loving your body, like that's a really vast distance for you to travel. But if you just learn to accept your body, care for your body, feel neutral about your body, I think those are more achievable steps to aim for.
Amen.
In the meantime,
choosing to respect your body even when you don't like how it looks, knowing your body is worthy of care and respect and love even when you feel like you should lose weight because the world's told you to. And that's a decision that you make. And so this book is for anyone who ever feels like they are constantly starting a new diet from scratch, who has always hated their body, who always feels like the wrong weight. Because I think most of us can relate to this feeling of looking back at an old photo of ourselves and being like, wow, I looked amazing. Look how cute I was. I was hot. But at the time, you look back and go, I did not think I was hot. I remember thinking I needed to fix this and I needed to lose weight here and this needed to change. And this just shows us that liking your body, respecting your body, isn't about a goal weight, because even when you looked there, back there when you were so much cuter than you apparently are now.
And younger.
You still didn't like how you looked then. So what are we chasing? You're not going to one day reach a point where you suddenly like your body and love it because you've lost weight or you look different. It is an act. It's a decision that you make to respect it, irrespective of whether or not you feel beautiful that day.
Lindy will be back with us on a future episode of Terea Pitt's Pep Talk. In the meantime, go and give her a follow on Instagram at nude_nutritionist. She also has a website where you can find out more about her book, Your Weight is Not the Problem. I highly, highly recommend this book. And she's got a podcast, No Wellness Wankery. I've been a guest on her podcast. It's a banger. She's also got a Keep It Real program where you can learn how to stop binge eating for good. So head to lindycohen.com to find out more information about all of those. Thanks for listening to Terea Pitt's Pep Talk. Follow to get new pep talks every day. Listener.